This week on Midwest Week, the shrinking gambling pie. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Jeff Ignatius, managing editor for the River Cities Reader. In a recent issue of River Cities Reader, Jeff, you wrote about the shrinking gambling pie, and what prompted that?
Curiosity. I was one of those things where I've always had certain ideas about gambling and thoughts about gambling and how much gambling was a good idea for governments to sanction, and thought I'd see if what I thought was actually true.
Okay, so how is the local gambling market divided between Iowa and Illinois and then the three casinos?
Well, I looked at about 20 years of data from admissions, which are visits, and something called AGR, which is adjusted gross receipts or revenue. And over that period, Iowa basically commanded 3/4 of the gambling market for the casinos and over that period of time. More recently, because of the Jumer's Casino in Illinois, they actually doubled their market share. So that's been shifting significantly since in recent years.
Okay, so 20 years of data collected by the states should be fairly dependable, or at least, you know, show us something. What have been the ups and downs of the market in this area?
Well, admissions at the casinos, at our Quad Cities casinos in total, peaked in 2000 at about 4.3 million. The adjusted gross revenues peaked in 2005 at about $222 million. So, and since then, they've been dropping significantly. Right now, admissions are about 3 million in 2013, and adjusted gross revenues were about 204 million. So both of those have dropped significantly since their peaks.
So the ups and downs, can we blame all or most of that on the recession, or are there some other things at work here too?
Well, if you think about those dates, 2000 and 2005, obviously that predates the recession. I think it's a combination of the economy and competition from relatively nearby casinos. Tourism is a big part of casino business, and if you get casinos coming up an hour or two away, it's going to cut into a new casino, will cut into the business of an existing casino.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. How far away can a new casino be and still compete with the Quad Cities?
I'm not an economist, and I can't say with any certainty, but it does seem like the Riverside and Waterloo casinos did cut into the Quad Cities casino business.
And they are, a couple hours away. Is that because so much of the casino business is tour buses?
Yes, I believe that's the case. And I think that's you're also seeing that in the impact of video gambling on our local casinos.
Okay. Now, what happened when Jumer's moved from downtown Rock Island out to the I-280 location? What sort of an impact on at least Jumer's and then the local market did that have?
Well, it doubled their business, basically. And we went from a year of about $187 million AGR to a year of about $217 million AGR. So it provided a big boost, and that business wasn't just taking away from the Isle of Capri and the Rhythm City casinos. It was new business to the market compared to previous years. So it actually did inject some new life into the casino market locally.
Okay. So why was that? Was it just the new location, or it was bigger or new, or what?
Well, our three casinos are located on the Interstate 74 bridge, which is not exactly traveler friendly. The downtown Davenport Riverfront, which is not exactly on the beaten path, and the downtown Rock Island Riverfront, which is not exactly on the beaten path. Interstate 280 is, if you're going to bypass the Quad Cities, that's one way you're going to do it. So it has a huge impact, and that's one reason why Davenport's casino is going to be moving to an interstate location as well.
Now, you also talked about the big bump for the Jumer's Casino as something that probably wouldn't last.
Well, it hasn't lasted. We've dropped $13 million in AGR since the year it opened and market-wide, and the advent of video gambling seems to be accelerating that significantly. We dropped $10 million in AGR as a market just in 2013 alone.
So what about the video gambling in Illinois? Is it too soon for us to see any impact?
Absolutely not. If you talk to the casino people, they'll say it's a huge factor, and what they see is a decline in their revenues. Basically, you're taking something where you had to travel to it, whether you travel in a few minutes or 20 minutes or a few hours, and to something where pretty much every community in Illinois now has access to gambling in some form or fashion in bars and restaurants. And so I think you're seeing that in the local market, where we had about $7 million in a full year of video gambling, and in tourism as well, because you know a group from a city without a casino might not take that tour bus to a casino now.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about government in both states? How dependent or reliant on gambling revenue are the governments at this point?
Well, it's not a lot of money in terms of their total budgets, but you know they've been having it for all these, you know, casinos have been around for two decades at this point. So they rely on it significantly. And obviously, you're not talking about getting rid of it. What you're talking about is it slowly going down over time, which is a, and that money either has to be replaced or has to be come out of services somehow.
Mm-hmm. And I was interested in your in the figures you broke out when you said government. Did that include the money that goes in Iowa from the casino to the nonprofit owner of the license, or is that completely separate?
That's separate. I was only looking at government, and it does it is a little skewed because it, if you look at government alone, it does look like Illinois government makes out, especially the local governments make out a lot better. But because of the Scott County Regional Authority, which owns the Ala Capri license, and the Riverboat Development Authority, which owns the Rhythm City license, there's obviously significant money going into a private not-for-profits that are benefiting the community as well.
And in the interest of full disclosure, we could, should say that public broadcasting has been a beneficiary of that money through the many years since gambling started. You referred in your article to the aging of the casino's customer base. So is the implication here that young people don't gamble?
Yes, it is. Or at least they're not going to casinos to gamble. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge challenge for casinos moving forward. They have to essentially replace customers as time goes on because those people are not going to be coming to the casinos forever.
Why are young people not – is it something that we need to start them younger, or why are older people more likely to gamble?
I couldn't tell you why younger people don't gamble. I'm 44, so I don't fall into the category of young anymore.
But, you know, the few times I visited casinos, it's an older demographic, and you read about, you know, people going from the senior centers and stuff, you know, and bus trips out to the local casinos. You know, I just wonder – is there some way for the casinos to do something similar for younger people?
I wonder also if casinos, because if you're 30 years old, you've had casinos and the lottery and you're around your whole life, there's no novelty to it. Whereas if you're an older person, when casino gambling was legalized in Illinois and Iowa, there was a it was brand new. It was something exciting and fresh. And for young people, it's just the way things are.